League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Draft day. Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how
with the fourth pick in the 2023 NBA draft, the Houston Rockets select Amen Thompson from Oakland, California, an overtime elite.
Another steal! Amen Thompson!
Yeah, it just feels, you know, great to be a Houston Rocket. You know, I thought I had a... Oh, looking over here? Sorry. I thought I had a great interview, great workout with them, and I was just... You know, I thought I saw a family over there. I saw a future in Houston. So, great to be there.
I think Amen has a chance to be really special, and I can't wait to work with him. And I love the way he plays basketball. I think that the things he does, the things that come natural, it lends itself to winning basketball. So we're excited.
Amen on Bronny. High pick and roll. Amen!
With the 20th pick in the 2023 NBA draft, the Houston Rockets select Cam Whitmore from Villanova University.
Whitmore, separation three is good.
I mean, I'm excited, grateful to be here. I mean, I'm blessed. I've been in the NBA for a lot of years since I was born, so I'm, you know, blessed to be here.
Just another piece to add to the table, add to the recipe they got going on. So, I mean, just, you know, happy to be a part of that program, I mean, the organization. And it's a lot of rebuilding. We got, you know, it has to be going on, but, you know, it doesn't really faze me. But at the end of the day, I'm just ready to be rocking.
Whitmore saw C. Aggression tank.
But when I'm here, not a sound. That'll make me snap, jot it down. Go in the booth and lay a body down. Know some Somalis that say
good Friday
we got
morning,
it.
Everybody. Your newest Houston Rockets. You just heard from them. How about you get Camp? Watching it and seeing Camp. I mean, he was the guy in the green room. Just kept dropping. He was Aaron Rodgers. He was every guy that Geno Smith, every guy that fell.
There was talk about him going fourth at one point, and then Brian Windhorst said he could fall to 10 or 11, and then it turns out he drops all the way to 20. And I think he's a guy the Rockets targeted anyway, and they were patient and waited, and they got a guy they really liked.
Yeah. He's got injury concerns. I guess he broke his leg. He had a thumb injury as well. So, I guess that's why he fell so draft. When we heard yesterday, he was falling down draft boards. It was like, okay, he'll fall to 10, maybe 8, 9, 10, 11, 20. Holy crap. That could be a steal in the draft, and the Houston Rockets came up with it. What'd you think of? I thought they were going to make some. We saw some moves. We saw some play. Chris Paul going to Golden State. Okay.
Boy, tell you what, the Washington Wizard deal, Bradley Beal, which looks so horrific,
now
actually ended up netting them 6 first round picks. They've got Jordan Poole. Like, it was,
they actually got Koulibaly.
Yeah, Koulibaly. They actually, it turned into a substantially better deal, which probably, I would imagine, the Chris Paul thing was already something they had talked about making a separate deal. That was probably part of the entire thing was, hey, if we get Chris Paul in this trade, you know, are you interested, Bob Myers? You know, are you interested, Golden State?
Yeah, he's
gone. I should say he's gone. So, I think Mike Dunleavy, and I'm sure that's something that was talked about beforehand. So nice job there. That's a whole separate conversation to get into is Chris Paul and Golden State and Bradley Beal, what they got. But there were some moves. Damian Lillard did not get moved. The Houston Rockets did not make a big move yesterday. So they still have a bunch of money to get something done. But what the Rockets did yesterday is they added more youth, which on its surface – would be, could be viewed as not necessarily a negative, but like, okay, well, you just took a young team and made it younger. How is this going to help you? But just from a pure roster standpoint, when you look at when Daryl Morey exited after all of the high dollar, you know, trying to trade this guy for this guy, and then he ended up eventually backing himself into a corner, a cupboard was bare from a talent standpoint. You look at it now, they have some young, long, athletic, talented players on
the roster. They can't possibly – this is not the roster, though.
I don't think so either.
No, it can't. They can't.
It's way too
low. They got to spend $47 million. They have to hit the floor. So they have got to – they're probably going to have to move some of these guys. They're probably, you know, free agency. It's not a great free agent market out there, so I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. I don't know about this whole Chris Middleton thing. There was some smoke about that, and you know, him opting out of his $40 million deal with the Bucks. I could certainly see Chris Middleton coming back here and being a Houston Rocket, but there is they got to add some veterans, and I'm not sure that all of these guys are still going to be here. We'll see. But they got better. Amen Thompson, not a great shooter, not even a good shooter. He is as athletic as it gets, and that is going to be very interesting if he's paired with Jalen in that backcourt, as quick as maybe the quickest backcourt in the NBA. It could quite possibly be the quickest backcourt in the NBA. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this all plays out over the next couple of months here for your Houston Rockets. Hopefully we'll get some insight into what they're going to do, and they're going to start to make some moves because they're going to have to do something pretty quick.
Yeah, but the key takeaway for me is that they have a long, athletic one who can play, I think, multiple positions as he continues to gain skill. Remember, Amen Thompson, I mean, it's a guy who didn't play any college basketball. Jalen Green played no college basketball. Alperen Şengün played no college basketball. This is a team that's young, like inexperienced. And so all the same, you know, issues that you talked about, that's all true. They don't have basketball experience, but they have a lot of the physical stuff you need. But you're right. If you stick with this roster as is, you have to hope that somehow they are able to become mature basketball men in the next couple years. I think it's going to take a lot longer than that unless you speed up the process by getting good vets. And they have so much money to spend that they have to spend. That should help. But I also don't think it's just free agency. I think somebody's going to have to get moved.
Yeah.
And I think Kevin Porter Jr., now that you added Amen Thompson, but is he ready? He's probably not ready to go right now.
We keep on saying that, and yet we the organization has never said – keep on saying Kevin Porter Jr., and nothing. So I'm not sure that they're – I'm not sure that Kevin – they don't think Kevin Porter Jr. is their guy. I don't know. I don't know. We will see in the upcoming – in the near future – you know, just how much they think of, because they think highly of him. That's all we've heard from them is positives about Kevin Porter Jr. And we'll see. Even John Lucas, who Kevin Porter Jr. threw something at and left the building and quit on the team. He just
quit for one
positives.
One day, one half.
One half. That's all he quit for. But he came back. But then he came back. Well, then he was suspended. So big night for your Houston Rockets last night as they had two key players, two guys that you didn't figure. Honestly, it was the thought was a couple of weeks ago that Cam Whitmore could have been that fourth pick, and now he's the 20th pick, and you still got him either way. So that is pretty cool that they got those two guys. We'll find out. Brado tweeted out the Rockets are on the verge of committing a robbery, one pick away. Getting Cam Whitmore was a robbery in this draft. We'll find out. Big ups to Marcus Sasser being picked in the first round. Did you see the big hug with Kelvin Sampson?
I did. That was cool.
They got themselves a
not just him. You know, Jairus, two Cougars in the first is something you don't see very often.
No.
It's been...
You know the only other lottery pick that Kelvin Sampson has had?
Who?
Eric Gordon.
That's it?
That's it. That's
even it. So at Oklahoma, never a lottery pick?
No, and this guy is such a... How many wins does he have and he doesn't have lottery picks? I mean, honestly, how good a coach is that? He doesn't have any lottery picks, and look at his record.
Well, how about this? The last time two Cougars were drafted in the first round, 1984, Michael Young and Akeem Olajuwon.
Yeah. And he's and Jarris was the highest pick since Akeem Olajuwon in 1984. The highest pick for the Houston Cougars. And he goes to Indiana. So, good, nice story there. Well, of course, he was wearing a Wizards hat because the Wizards drafted him, and then they made the trade. Dumbest thing ever on draft night. Dumbest thing ever. Just give the kid the right hat. You know the trade has happened.
They knew the trade. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know why they did that.
And now forever, he's going to be wearing a Wizards cap on draft night. You know, all his pictures are going to be with the Wizards cap. And then he goes, wait, what? I'm a what? Huh?
Yeah, because they don't know at the time, but all the people on – they probably start getting texts as they got their hat on. And this pick is actually for the Wizards, who talked to general manager, talked to Ted Leonsis, the owner, and he said what they plan on doing. And I'm sure at some point, Jarris Walker's,
hey, wait, what? I just said all these nice things about the Wizards. Now I don't like them.
So hold on. This is, it's the big man gets from France gets this, or what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Your guy from France did go early, what, seventh? The guy who was on the same team with Wembanyama, your guy, Mbembali or whatever.
Koulibaly.
Yeah. He went earlier than the odds had projected, and I think he's just watching some of the highlights. Like, he's got the type of profile that's going to end up getting way better, way faster.
Yeah.
Young guy who's not really very skilled offensively yet. I have a already feeling. Grew from 5'11". Did you see that? In 2020, he was 5'11"?
What?
He was 5'11" in 2020.
Wow. Talk about shoot up.
And he's 6'8" right now.
That's great, though, for skill, for ball handling skills.
Exactly.
It's exactly what you want in a guy that just shoots up, but he's been playing guard his whole life. Now he's
his basketball is going to catch up to his frame. Yeah. And that's a guy who has
– I think he's a really got a chance upside. To be – He and Wemby, the two best guys in this draft. There's a chance that he could be. Brandon Miller is really, really good. We'll see. But Amon Thompson made his first Houston misstep, saying he wishes he could celebrate with a burger from In-N-Out. Someone take him to Whataburger as soon as he lands. In-N-Out is a Houston burger.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Because they have a place here?
Yeah, have a place
it's
here.
It's a California. Why, you are making a massive mistake saying that out loud with your human mouth.
Is it not in this? Well, it's not in this city. It's in Sugarland, right? In Richmond.
Katie, they've opened up some other ones. Where are they?
There's one in Stafford.
Yeah, they've opened up multiple locations.
Right? Yeah.
They're Whataburger's biggest.
Stafford, Sugarland.
They're Whataburger's biggest national competitor. He should have said Whataburger, or as Trill Burgers took that tweet, they retweeted and said, or Trill Burgers.
Oh, yeah, take him to Trill. Well, he's Trill not going to stand in that line.
No, I know. He's not going to. He'll be fine.
Not going to have to.
He's not going to have to be out in a – feels like 112 out on the side of the road waiting to get in.
Honestly, when I drove by that the other day, it was down Richmond. I was like, oh, my gosh. Are you people nuts?
I hope Bun B ends up making some money on that.
You think? Yeah, I hope. I'd love to see Bun succeed at something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to see something go right for
Bun. 713-780-3776. You guys have any thoughts on this Rockets? On this?
Give us your thoughts. I was excited about, like, I already know. I'm excited about what they did with their picks. I mean, I do NFL drafts, so I get kind of excited to see how. The Rockets, for two of the last 3 years, have gotten exactly the two guys they wanted. They got Whitmore and they got Thompson. But I remember when they got, Green, and then they were able to wait out Şengün getting to them, who they really, really loved. Rafael Stone not panicking and trying to trade up for Whitmore. I mean, he does a pretty good job on draft day, I think.
Yeah.
I really do.
Oh, no.
Building a team is a little bit different than how you handle draft day.
Look
it's not necessarily the same, but I think he's done a good job on the day of the draft.
Tari Eason? I mean, look he's done a really, really nice job, especially 15, 18, 20, all these picks in there.
It's all going to be judged, Şengün, Tari Eason, and now Whitmore. I mean, it's pretty savvy. We'll see how, because Eason can play, Şengün can play.
Now, there was a report out there that Houston, I guess, from 17 to 19, were trying to make a trade because when they saw Whitmore falling, they thought that there was going to be a team that may, bite the bullet. A lot of people thought the Lakers at 17 were going to choose Whitmore. So, they were trying to, you know, make a trade there.
But I'll be honest. I was surprised they didn't trade up because I know surprised. They liked – I was surprised they were able – that seems like unbelievable discipline to sit there and wait for him to get – so actually trying to trade up and get him actually – frankly, makes more sense.
Yep.
Because I know that's the guy they like.
All right, let's break. You guys get in. What do you think? 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls on the other side. 713-780-3776. Right now I'm talking about Houston Powder Coaters, my people over there. I just love what they do. And I like to be hands-on. I like to know the business. I like to know the people there. I've gotten to know Robin and the great people over at Houston Powder Coaters. And listen, when I was there, I was blown away by the operation, how big it is, how unbelievable it is, how persnickety they are about the primping and priming, making sure that everything is perfect. They want it to come out. And then you see the finished product that's hanging there and drying, and it's like, oh, my goodness. It all looks like it's brand new. And this is stuff that has been rotten, that has been rusty, that the furniture has been broken. They fix, they replace the straps, the slings. They do it all for your patio furniture, but not only patio furniture. If you've got anything that's metal and you want it to look great and brand new again, it's Houston Powder Coaters. There's one place to go. They're the biggest. They're the best. 5-star customer service. You will love it. They will pick up free and deliver it back free to you no matter where you are. And if you can hear us, they're pretty much going to be able to do that for you. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Let's all get back to two white guys talking sports. Wow, that's a totally new concept. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, comment on the draft last night, you're more than welcome to do that. The suits were interesting. Grady Dick's outfit was interesting, I thought. There were some guys with no shirts on. There were some guys. The NBA draft now, I mean, you're going to find some fashion. You're going to find
Scoot fashion. Henderson's
outfit. That was great.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
I did hear Andrea Carter, who I actually think did a pretty good job in terms of being prepared. I think she was very prepared. She's a sideline reporter, used to play basketball at Tennessee. She was, you know, and she had a lot of injuries and had to retire due to injuries. But she's never done anything like this, and I think she was pretty efficient with how she prepared as somebody up on – I mean, she's up there with Jay Billis and J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
And Malik Andrews was the one handling the I think it was inherently it's a difficult job in the NBA because you're drafting 18- and 19-year-olds, so they don't really have stories, you know. Like in the NFL, you've got 3 years of watching them, 4 years of watching them, some cases 5 years of watching these guys. Yeah. They played for major programs. You've seen them on TV much, much more, and they're, you know, they're more mature, like from a life standpoint, right? You're talking to 22-year-olds who have had a chance to grow up, and this you're talking to like it's like kids. Yeah. Watch Anthony Black from Arkansas. First of all, he looks like little kid,
well,
like tall kid,
that hair,
and then they don't really have anything. It's not really a lot to say. Like, what do you say with a G League elite guy? Or you don't talk about, you know, you come from a great, you know, Florida State's got a great background. Or historically, you look at, you know, what tight ends from Iowa have been able to do, and then you're in the great footsteps of George Kittle. You don't have anything like that
No.
with guys from overtime or G League elite. You're like, so what's it like to turn 18? And so Andrea Carter, who's on the set, she's talking about the twins, Amen and Isaiah Thompson, and she says, you know, they love basketball. I mean, this is what they do, basketball. Did you know until just this week, they only had iPhone 5s. And iPhone 5 is the one with the button on the front that you push. So, I mean, you know, basketball is what they do. And I'm just thinking, this is draft analysis for now,
yeah.
Right? You talk about their commitment to basketball because they only have iPhone 5s. I thought, wow, that is a – we don't really say things like that on our network as much on NFL draft.
Well, you have a lot more. Like you said, you have a lot more.
Yeah, you talk about fun, right? In this one, you're like, well, right. You know, they got iPhone 5s, which show you iPhones are not.
Right.
Or, you know.
Right. Or Kawhi's car they talked about. You know, yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get some calls in here. We all said, right. Come on in, 713-780-3776. Kevin, what you got?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning.
How y'all doing?
What you say, Kev?
Man, I actually, and Lance, one thing I heard you say, Dream, and maybe you said someone else was
Michael Young.
Yeah, so wasn't Cadillac Anderson the first round pick?
Yeah, but two.
By the first?
Yeah, but two in the first round.
Yeah, but which Colin was in the same draft? Wasn't he the kid from Ricky Winslow?
Oh.
Didn't Ricky Winslow and Cadillac come out the same year?
Hold on. You might be right on that, Kev. I got to see. Because Cadillac went to
San Antonio. I'm just checking. I just was thinking when you said, I was like, wait, didn't Ricky Winslow and Cadillac?
You might be right, because I think they came out. I think they got to school the same time. So
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, I could be wrong.
No, but I think you actually might be right on that one. Ricky Winslow was 1987, and Cadillac Anderson was... Dang, you may be right on that one. Look at you. Look at you.
I wasn't trying to call you out, brother.
No. You're right, though. It was pick number... You're right. 1987, round one, pick number 23, and then Ricky Winslow was pick number... No, he was round two. Ricky was... Yeah, you're right. They came out of the same draft, but Ricky was in the second round. He was pick 28.
Wow,
he went a lot deeper than I thought. He didn't make it until the 28th pick of the second round. So, but you're right. I'd forgotten about those guys in the same draft. I would have thought Ricky was a first rounder. That's a little surprising to me. But that's a good
point. I think what the Rockets did last night, man, I think that was good. You know, these kids are just potential. You know, of course, like any of the other kids, and you don't know what you're getting until they get there. And, you know, you start getting beat around by some grown men knocking you around a little bit in practice. And you kind of really get to see what they're made of. You know, the kid out of Villanova, he never broke a smile the entire time. Like, he was very frustrated by the fact that he went 20th. And you could tell that really obvious from the time he stood up and hugged his parents. And even with the interview with Monica McNutt, he was not really happy about going so low. And that's cool. I think if that's the thing that you're going to use for motivation to drive you to do what you got to do. And I was also I was sort of disappointed, but I was appreciative at the same time of this kid's posture, the Brandon Miller kid. But I was kind of disappointed by how much the four-letter network, man, I know that's a part of you guys, but kept mentioning the issues at the University of Alabama. Like, it's well documented. Everybody knows what happened. Everybody realized the involvement that the kid had in it. But, you know, I mean, at some point, when do you allow the kid to have his night?
So that's a really it's a really interesting topic. Let me give you some insight, though. When you do draft stuff as a network, your assumption is, and this is that everyone watching is typically, a lot of people watching are not just college football, college basketball fans, or they are fans of NBA teams, and they don't keep up with that stuff as much. I know in our world, we know all about Brandon Miller, but there is a much larger percentage of people who don't know some of the stories that we know about college football players and college basketball players if they only watch NBA ball. So I saw there was a lot of backlash against Malika Andrews. So Malika Andrews, this is a decision that is made not by Malika Andrews, and I understand people – this really did. I think it does require some context. You have meetings, and in these meetings, the producer of a show is going to say, "Okay, Brandon Miller. So how do we bring up the gun stuff? We're going to have to talk about that because that is something that happened. A lot of people watching are not going to know about this. You know, with John Morant, and so this is what it might sound like. You know, with John Morant's issue, that's a big issue. How does that? You know, will teams potentially look at that? Is it something that?" Brandon Miller, you know, for future context, there's going to be a concern in the league that he, because it wasn't his gun anyway, but So a conversation is had, and you know this, John, from doing TV. The producers, in a big event like this, there's things beyond the host's control.
Yeah.
The host just introduces certain subjects. That's not really – bringing a topic up like that is usually not just a Malika Andrews thing. Now, she has been criticized for bringing up negative. The other thing was, what did she get – her and Stephen A. got into it because –
Ime Udoka.
Yeah, Ime Udoka. She was bringing up the Udoka stuff. And I think, to be fair, she is bringing up, like, she was basically saying, hey, I don't like this for, you know, for women. Not the Rockets signing him. This is way before that when he was out. And she was basically saying, as a pro, I'm pro woman and I don't like that Udoka did this.
Well, that might have been her.
Listen, that was her opinion.
You got a fine line when you're hosting a show like this, is that you got to bring up stuff that is negative about the player, and it's, no, let's not forget it, he's just a kid, he's still a kid too, but you got to bring this stuff up. If that might have been out of her control, that thing with Ime probably came from her.
Yeah, so she was on Stephen A. That's her opinion as a woman on that situation.
Right.
But she immediately started taking criticism at that point on Twitter about she's anti-black man, right? And so now she's already got that in her background. You followed all this, RJ, I'm sure, because you shook your head about Malika with Udoka stuff. You gave us a heads up on that. So now that all resurfaced yesterday when she brought up the Brandon Miller stuff, she took a lot of heat. I think that one could be out of her control. However, you know, ESPN did something with it was T. Higgins, I believe, where they took a lot of heat, and our network did not do this, where they brought up, ESPN dropped, T. Higgins' dad is in prison for, you know, drugs,
what,
or whatever,
to do with anything?
And that, and they were trying to say it as, you know, he has overcome adversity, but you're right. Like, it is supposed to be these kids' big night. And so you really, you are walking a fine line. Okay. What on the Brandon Miller gun thing, I think it warranted mentioning.
It did.
I don't think T. Higgins' family situation warranted mentioning in the NBA, in the NFL draft.
You got to make those calls. So. Those are tough calls. Those are calls you got to make, though, when you're producing it, when you're, and listen, as the guy, the executive producer of the whole thing, he has got to say, you know, guys, we.
What's the tone? Either,
and, but if you don't approach it and you don't say anything, then people are going to get on you for just being a, you know, a homer.
But
and
you don't want to, I don't know that you want to harp on it on draft night.
Right. The Brandon Miller gun thing has to be. Listen, he.
With Jalen Carter, you have to talk about that on draft night.
With the Brandon Miller thing, it has, listen, one of the stories is, look at this kid. This is how good he is. He overcame this situation, this tragic situation, and is still the number two overall pick. You know, obviously people had, you know, had to have questions for him. They had to, you have to find out about whether or not this kid is a good kid or a bad kid, and they still believe in him that he's the number two overall pick. That's the way you could approach it, it's actually in a positive way for the kid, is that he was able to overcome something that a lot of people couldn't.
But that's the ESPN tribe with T. Higgins, and they got killed for it, and I think rightfully so. It's his mom was in prison.
This is a story that's out there.
Right.
You know, that is something that's pretty private for the kid, as opposed
to this was
a huge story.
You're right. But ESPN was in, and now Malika Andrews has taken the gist of it. I didn't see the entire. I tuned in at pick three. I missed the first two picks, so I don't know. I didn't actually hear her say that, and I don't know how many times she brought that up. To be honest with you, Malika Andrews, but it is something that was going to be on the broadcast. But you know, it's a tough one because you bring it up, but how much time do you spend on it when this is the kid's big night and he has gone through a lot of that stuff, and he did not pull a gun on anybody. I mean, it's debatable. But I think bringing it up, is that's probably beyond her control.
Well, he wasn't charged, so that played out. All right, let's take a break. Roger, you'll be up first here on the other side. We got to break it here. We got to talk about John Daspit and see, maybe Brendan needs a lawyer.
Yeah, well, he did at one point. John Daspit does not handle that. He handles personal injury law, and that's and he specializes in that. Now, he, before, in his prior, in his prior life, when he was at Fulbright Jaworski, he was he practiced a different type of law, but then made the move over to personal injury, started his own company, and he is a guy who's really driven. He's driven to get the best out of his personality is such that he's going to get the best out of his lawyers. He's going to get the best out of your case. He is going to fight for you. He doesn't, you know, he has a great feel for when a case needs to be settled and when to really fight hard for a case because someone is screwing you over. When it comes time to you, you know, you being injured and making sure that you get a settlement that is fair for you because of someone else's negligence, John Dasput's ready to fight that fight. I mean, he is not afraid to go fight a fight, and he is extremely successful in what he's able to do for his clients, and that includes throughout the state of Texas and now spanning into other states soon enough where he will also have offices. But what you need to know is 10 states in Texas means that he has you covered and anyone that you may know if you've been wrongfully injured in an accident and you need help with making sure that you get a fair settlement because you have bills to take care of, you have time missed at work, you have physical therapy. All of that, John Dasput will fight for you. Call Dasput Law, go to DaspitLaw.com or give him a call. Easy number, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW.
ESPN, 97.5.com. Get in the race.
One wrong twist of your steering wheel and that'll be the end of you.
Yes, yes, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all. Check it out, y'all.
Check it out.
Yo, I find the show rhyme till it's time to go. I'm designed to blow.
The preambulatory NFL person, the godmother of quality footwear. You found the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 733. Let's go. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here. Let's get Roger in here. He wants to talk about the Rockets Hall. What do you say, Roger?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? It was a good draft. I thought it was a good draft. It was definitely surprising. Nothing popping out so far on Cam Whitmore and Vintry. And barring other players. The practices should be super ultra competitive now, even though we have a young talent. So my question to you guys would be, what free agency? Tell me, turn the page to free agency now. What kind of need versus what's out there to pick up? Cause I hear a lot of Brook Lopez, and I'm not sure what kind of impact that guy's going to have on our team. Yeah, he's an experienced veteran, but I'm not seeing. We're not there yet. We don't need a piece like that. That would be a piece if you're trying to, I would assume trying to make a big playoff run. I really like to hear your comments on what kind of people are out there and what we really need versus what's out there.
It's not a great free agent year, quite frankly. It's just not. But I would disagree with you. I think you could use a veteran like Brook Lopez, been around, been there, done that, a guy that guys can look up to, a guy who can help Alperen Şengün out quite a bit. He can teach him some stuff.
He can handle the heavy lifting against some of the bigs.
Yes, yes. And Alperen Şengün is just not – he's still not built for that yet. And we'll see what kind of offseason he has, if whether or not he's going to put on some more pounds or whatever.
Well,
and still
the word
have his agility.
Is he's actually grown an inch.
Yeah. Oh, they really? Actually,
yeah. The word is Alperen Şengün grew, that he's taller now.
Well, I can tell you that the Rockets are not – he's going to have to get much better defensively because the Rockets are not enamored with his defense. And Ime is the defensive coach, so Brook Lopez coming in here would bring that. And I think you could play Brook Lopez – you could play Alperen Şengün more as a point forward kind of – not really point, but a guy that you start the offense
– run him some in the high post.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot
absolutely.
More high screening role
yeah,
stuff.
At the free throw line looking – I mean, a lot like they're doing – in Denver. So
yeah, it's a little bit of a double big situation where you have two guys, is there going to be some lane clogging? There may be some. I guess that's going to be the concern. Yeah.
Well, did you think that was why Ime, kind of in his introductory press conference, said that he wants to bring in different types of centers, not just a guy like Alpi, but he wants to bring in, I would feel, guys with at the center position that have different skill sets, maybe more of a defensive guy, maybe one that's more of just a straight rim runner, just to kind of give a different look, to opposing teams. And maybe he's saying until
helps with matchups too.
Yeah, until like Alpi figures it out, like we'll have kind of different guys to maybe kind of hide them defensively, maybe.
Yeah. It could be some of it. I mean, I do envision them potentially playing at the same time, but
well, you say clog the lane. You know how many threes per game Brook Lopez takes?
How many?
Average? almost 5.
Yeah,
he's standing outside.
No, he can shoot. Yeah, he can shoot threes, but with the way the Rockets, like, I don't see him standing at the 3-point line during a high screen and roll. Like, but he may have to just for spacing purposes.
Yeah, right.
Just for spacing purposes,
he shoots almost.
That's a lot.
He shoots 37%. He's a 35, almost 35% career 3-point shooter.
Yeah, there's a stretch big for you also. Right. So. That's a little higher number than I was expecting. five and a half.
Attempts.
4.7 attempts.
One year he shot 6.3 per game.
Yeah. Well, I think he gives you some of the Steven Adams ruggedness, which is something that is lacking. You know, sometimes just being tougher as a team is a big deal. I think the Rockets need to get tougher, and the best way to do that is having a big rugged big guy who can handle some of that, even though, you know, he's not going to be a low post scorer of any type, but can play junk ball. He can shoot from three and he can be physical and handle some of the bully ball that maybe Alperen Şengün is not really built for. So that's going to be interesting. Cam Whitmore, here's some context for you on Cam Whitmore dropping to 20. Whitmore was quote unquote struggling at times with his shooting and intensity during his individual team workouts, per ESPN draft experts Jonathan Givony. Meanwhile, Jonathan Wasserman also shared an update about Whitmore via Bleacher Report. There have been some concerns over Cam Whitmore's medicals, which could cause a few teams to pass in the mid-lottery, per sources. That ended up being accurate. Additionally, here's what Eastern Conference executive told David Aldridge from The Athletic. Quote, at the Hoop Summit, Whitmore was not a practice-type player and didn't look very good during the week. But once he played, he was one of the better players in the game. That's going to have to change at the NBA level. He's going to have to exert some effort, some ability and skill level in practice for a head coach to put him in the game. He's not going to be guaranteed minutes like he was at Villanova. So having issues, those are a couple red flags you had. Either and or the reason Cam Whitmore fell is because it sounds like there were medical concerns after having his medicals at the NBA combine, and intensity, like practice, putting the work in, that's mentioned more than once here in this article by insiders and executives that was a big issue for him. It is not only his individual personal workouts, but also with what he did at the Hoop Summit. So that's a little bit of a concern. You never like hearing he's not a practice type player. He needs to put in more effort. That's not something you love to hear. And then the medical stuff also.
Well,
that's not something you love.
Listen,
to hear.
With Ime, that's going to change. Son, you ain't going to be here long. If you're gonna, and by the way, you ain't going to get any playing time either. So you better change your attitude towards practice. You better change your attitude towards effort. You better change your attitude towards all of that stuff. Because listen, kids grow up too. I mean, if it was me, that's how I would have been about practice, too. You know what I'm saying? When I was his age, I would have been like, I ain't all about this.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have gotten drafted in the first round.
With my talent, I might have.
If Cam Whitmore was a hard practicer, he might have been picked inside the top 8.
Right. But you know what? Cam Whitmore might grow up and might mature.
No, he could. He's still very young, but that's why this is, I think, NBA
drafts.
He's just
18, dude.
NBA drafts are super hard because they're drafting guys who, I mean, they haven't even emotionally matured. They haven't even gotten close to emotional maturity a lot of
here times. He is talking about being drafted 20th in the motivation.
Like, motivates me to, like, 150% I don't even know. But it's just somewhere I just got to rethink. I mean, going the next day, new mind, free mind, coming in that organization. I mean, with a chip on my shoulder, I have a lot of motivation on my mind, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really faze me. I mean, I know I'm different than everybody else, but it's just, you know, another chapter in my life, another journey, just time to get to work.
Hey, listen, that was a wake-up call. And when you get a wake-up call like that, he's sitting there going, wait a minute, why am I just free-falling here? Maybe I got to change some stuff about myself. And you know what? Maybe he will. So we'll see. And you know what? What a steal. If he does, what a steal for the Rockets at 20, because he's got the talent to be a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. But it is all about, you know, I can't be hypocritical. The two major areas of concern when you have first round picks in my draft is your football character? You know, how much do you love it? Are you willing to put the work in? Are you willing to work hard and have the intensity? And then also, are you going to be available? Are you going to avoid injury? So there's a reason he, Cam Whitmore, fell to 20 with his talent. And reading up on some of the stuff, the two big concerns were medicals and work, you know, and ability to put the work in practice. And you're right, that has to change. Like, that can't work with Udoka.
Know who puts the work in? Billy Brown. That's who puts the work in.
Work ethic right there.
You want to talk about work ethic? Well, not when he's listening to us. A lot of times he'll listen to us on the way to work. I don't find that's great work ethic. But you know what? He does. And sometimes he laughs at some of the stupid stuff that we say. And you know what? We laugh because, ha, 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 we got the best plumber. And I hope you do, too. When you have an issue, I don't care what your plumbing issue is, 281-488-6238. Is there stuff that you think about? Do you think about your tankless water heater? Have you cleaned it? You should do this like every year or two. You need to get all that residue out of there. We didn't know it. Mine was eight years old.
They had to do three cleanings for mine.
Right.
I'm like, oh wow, I do have water pressure.
You need to do that. Drain cleaning, circulating pumps, water heaters, tankless water heaters, gas piping, new construction. It doesn't matter. If you're putting in a gas grill, you need a plumber. You call Aqueduct Plumbing, 281-488-6238. They're awesome. They'll come to your house absolutely free.
Yeah, they don't charge you $75 to come out there, diagnose, and then tell you that's part of your, you know, you can apply that towards the work that you get done, because that's leverage against you. They don't do that. Big jobs, small jobs, they're the company that you can trust. They're the ones that John and I have used, and I promise you, you're going to really enjoy using a plumber that you can trust and that has great pricing. It's our friends over at AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, doing just enough not to get fired.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Text Community Bank Studios. It's John and Lance and the same five guys who always call. Oh, yay.
That's right. We do have the same five guys. So if you're one of those five guys, give us a call today. 713-780-3776. I want to see what Gilbert thinks about the draft. About the what the Rockets did last
year. Yeah, I didn't watch it anyway.
Well,
that's what he'll say. Well, I'm just seeing the video of this kid,
Kobe Bufkin,
rubbing his mom's leg.
Yeah, it was,
while they're talking.
It was weird. His mom is hot, you know.
Well, yeah, but you could rub her leg, not her
son.
No,
I'm not rubbing her leg. I'm married.
Well, she's hot. You said that maybe you wanted to rub her leg.
Well, she's
Kimberly Camp. That's Michael Bufkin. Something tells me they're divorced or they're apart or whatever, because she's got a different last name than the kid. So I'm thinking maybe she's remarried. Or she went back to her first name.
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
I just know that's a mom.
That.
Okay, here's what I know. It's a mom, and the son is reaching over and rubbing her leg during the interview. It's hard not to see.
It's really creepy, actually, if you want to know the truth. And Kobe's going to have to live with that for the rest of his life now, because every time, that's just what you're
going to think. What do you think of live draft? There's one thing I'm thinking of that I can remember that pops up, like something that still pops up on draft day.
Laramie Tunsil's mask, gas mask?
No, well, something that happened that you saw on the screen live. For me, it's when CeeDee Lamb's girlfriend tried to look at his phone and he snatched it away from her. And I'm like, ooh, that's a bad sign. We're already doing that.
Yeah, get out my phone.
Wasn't it CeeDee Lamb that did that?
It was CeeDee Lamb.
Snatched
there
away
he is
from
right
her.
There. Let's get Keith in here. He's one of the five guys that calls. If you want to be one of the five guys, 713-780-3776. What up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Definitely one of those five guys. No Carson Wentz updates today, but I have some NBA draft questions. What do you guys think of the Houston guys that went round one? Marcus Sasser to Detroit with Monty Williams, and obviously Jairus Walker headed to Indiana with, you know, Miles Turner, Benedict Mathurin, and Tyrese Haliburton. Love the show. Thanks, guys.
I think Detroit is going to love Marcus Sasser. I think that kid, he's a born leader. He's got, I think he's going to walk into a locker room and it won't be long before, you know, he's a special young man. He really is. I think they're going to love him. I'm a little surprised that he went that high, but, and then, you know, I think that Indiana is really going to like the, he's a worker. He is, Jairus Walker is just a workman type kind of guy. He will fill up some buckets. He's not special, you know, as far as skill set and everything else, but he is just going to work his tail off. Comes from a great family. Those two guys deserve to be up there and deserve, you know, to get this shot. I think Marcus Sasser is going to be a really nice piece for them.
I think the only concern I have for him is they traded up, so they have a plan for him,
yeah.
Obviously. He's not a point. I mean, he's really more of a scoring guard. So playing him next to, you know, getting time next to Cade Cunningham would make a lot of sense. But they also drafted the other Thompson twin, Asar Thompson. So there's some replication there. So I think
that's enough minutes.
Yeah, and I guess they can go with that. Could be part of a smaller lineup. I don't know how they view Sasser. I love Jairus Walker's fit. I think that's a great fit for him in terms of what he can become. Because I think that he has just big three. He has big three, so he's super athletic. But I think if he gets to where he can bang a little bit more with his body type, the teams are going to really love what he's able to do from a guarding standpoint, guarding threes and maybe some fours. He can also switch off. He's got length. He's a good shot blocker. He's good off the ball shot blocker. I think his fit's good. I am just a little bit worried about the competition level, except for the fact that they actually made a trade up so that they could get him. So obviously Detroit has a plan.
Well, but Sasser's already a better shooter than Asar.
Oh yeah. No, there's no question. Yeah. The shooting's not my concern, but Asar is also, he's also very young and still developing as a player. Yeah. I think Sasser is who he's going to be as a player. He can add a little bit of skill level or tighten some things up, but he's played a lot of basketball, college basketball. Well, he's played college basketball. He did have an injury issue.
Yeah.
So it knocked out a year.
No, absolutely. But I think that, listen, the way Kelvin Sampson talks about these guys and the stories that he tells about these guys.
I love how he defends, too. I mean, he'll get after it.
Yeah.
And that's one
relentless.
Of the things. That's one of the things that probably helped both those guys. If you really want to know the truth, is that they're already battle tested from a defensive standpoint. And that's not something you can say with most guys coming into the league.
And what's something else you can say is too is that they're like, you know, Cam Whitmore, is he coachable? Because if he's going to be lazy in practice and do all, you know, and not give effort and whatnot, there's one thing you can say about Kelvin Sampson players: they're coachable.
Yeah. They have to be if you're going to stay with him.
If you're going to stay with Kelvin Sampson, you got to be coachable.
So that really does help, and that gets to the basketball character.
You don't even get to the University of Houston if you're not coachable. You know, he's not going to take you. He's going to find out what kind of kid it is before he takes them on. And if you ain't all about that bald and working hard, then you ain't going to be here long.
I just hope that he doesn't fall like maybe they put him in the G League for a while, because, I mean, you do have a lot of guards on that team with Diallo and Killian Hayes, Jaden Ivey, Corey Joseph. There's a lot of guards that you're going up against, you know,
yeah,
just to make the roster.
Jaden,
so I hope
Ivey.
He doesn't go G League.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a good chance he will, honestly, because, yeah, I didn't even think about Jaden Ivey is your number one. Like, it's just – but they have a plan for him. That's what I'm saying. For a team that has – you've drafted Thompson, you've drafted Ivy in back-to-back years, but you trade up to go get your hands on Sasser. There's something about him that you really, really like, and you envision this is how we're going to use him. So I think you're looking at, you know, it's backup guard stuff is what you're looking at.
But I wouldn't be.
But it wouldn't shock me if he started G League.
It would me. I think they're going to be so impressed by him, they're going to go, oh no, this kid's.
He's going to have to shoot with more consistency from three, though.
Yeah.
I think that's something he needs to do.
Yeah, yep, yep. Well, he's going to work on that, I'm sure. Let's get Juan in here. Hey, Juan.
Hey, guys. Great show. With Wembanyama in the league, I'm looking for some advice on how I can talk smack about Denver's supposed dynasty upcoming. So what can I say that should temper their enthusiasm?
So how do you – he's asking – how do I come after the Spurs? Like, what's the angle? I will open this up because a lot of times the biggest smart Alex sometimes are just listening to the show, I've learned, and on Twitter. If you have an idea about what, how do you come after the Spurs now with Wembanyama? It's a team that had Duncan and Manu and Tony Parker. They had their success. Do you have an opinion about how to come after the Spurs guys? 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter. I mean, you don't, the Alamo thing doesn't, like, that's not, don't do that. You don't have anything there. We're all in Texas. You don't have anything there. The French angle, do you do French angle? Do you start calling him like Frenchie Holmgren?
Pepe Le Pew.
Do you go Frenchie Holmgren, you know, to take a shot at the Chet Holmgren thing because he body type like Chet Holmgren? Is that a way to take a shot at him? Do you say something? Do you play off of Charles Barkley's big women in San Antonio thing? Like, how long is it going to take for him to, you know, end up with an injury? Once one of the
big girls because a big girl
top of him, you know, like, yeah, maybe that's something you do. Maybe now if you're taking a shot at the organization, you basically, I think you basically need to cut down Wembanyama. How do you cut down, or how do you? Is there a Popovich thing you can say? Do you take a Popovich angle? Do you take a Wembanyama? Do you try to roll in Charles Barkley, big girl in San Antonio angle? Like, what do you? What's your angle if you're
really
playing a
difficult dozens? As a Rocket fan to go after the Spurs?
No. Well, that's why Juan's calling in. He's like, you don't think he knows that? He's probably thought about it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm trying to elicit some help here, because this is like playing a game of the dozens. We used to just call it ranking on people, where you have to find, like, I was toughened up. See, my generation, one of the reasons that we're not super sensitive is because we had to sit on a bus. Like, I had to sit on a bus, and I had to go after guys would come after me,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically like your mama jokes, but you're doing it like about them, and so you're ranking on each other. Some people call it the dozens, and so like they would come at me. I had my two front teeth grew in,
that's awful.
Like your buck teeth, right? So buck teeth stuff, mm-hmm. or I have a high. They'd say I have a high. Your ass is up on your neck because they said I had a high butt. I had, you know, the long legs. When I was younger, it looked like it was too long of legs. I was high cut. Still am. And so then I'd go after other people. You know, you have to go after noses. You go after, you just,
whatever.
You have to
go
they
after
pick
whatever.
On. Yeah. And you have to get thick, like you have to get develop thick skin because it's going to get a little ugly.
Yeah.
It's a little ugly on the way to the football game.
Oh, kids are the worst.
Basketball game.
Kids are the worst.
No, but they also, but I don't,
but
it doesn't
how you
bother
should.
Me as much.
No, that's how you should grow up. And then you develop some, that's how you develop some thick skin as
I
opposed
said,
to these kids where you say something and they're, you hurt my pee-pee.
I said one thing that was a little over the line to this girl was taking shots at me, and I said something to her. Do you remember the show called Silkwood with Meryl Streep, I think it was? And it was about radiation poison or something.
Oh, that was
so the girl had kind of thin hair, and I called her Silkwood.
Oh, no.
But that's what you had to go after him. Like, you had to. She came after me.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to. It's what you got to do.
See, I just did that.
They're going to think you're a punk if you don't fight back.
I did that just a few weeks ago.
Will you just do that to people who are minding their own business, like at a coffee shop?
This time I felt really bad, though.
What'd you do? Was it intentional when you said, oh, I noticed your wife is having a baby. Congratulations.
No.
No, she's not. She's just big.
No, that wasn't intentional.
Was that you trying to go dozens on
No, I was doing an auction for this golf tournament, and there was a guy who was giving away a hunt, and he was a guide. And he was and there was a, you know, big crowd, and, you know, you're going to bid on it. And I said, Hey, girls, y'all got to bid on this because, you know, this is the guide. So you're going to go to this camp and you're going to be a couple of days. This will be nice. And then another one came. He said, I'm going to give away one, too. He was a heavy set guy.
Okay. What did you say?
And I said, well, there goes all the women bidding.
It was really ugly.
I shouldn't have done that.
John Granato just said, I shouldn't have done it. You know how bad you must have felt for you to admit that publicly?
I felt bad.
To say, I felt. When did you feel bad? Immediately, or was it when you were driving home?
You're driving home, and then I in bed that night. I was like, "Oh God, what? I just that was ugly."
You're such a terrible guy. You just can't stop yourself from saying ugly things.
Yo. All right.
Hey, there's a lady right there. Maybe she can make a sandwich for you. Like, I am a doctor, sir.
Yeah? Well, then you should be pretty good with that knife cutting a sandwich in half.
Oh, no, see, you did it again. You should be good cutting a sandwich? You can't stop yourself. The Granato filter is the worst. You got to change your filter. It's all clogged up. See, now would be a great time for Aqueduct. Now would be a great Aqueduct.
But instead, it's Stephen Schell.
Yeah. No, let me tell you something. You could have sat out on your patio that night and just had a drink and go, why did I do that? Why am I such a terrible person? And you can get introspective on your own patio. You can sit and watch the draft. You can sit and watch golf. You can watch your latest shows like The Bear on Hulu that's out right now. Spend your time outdoors. Now, look, it's a little warm right now. I'm not going to lie. So now's not the greatest time necessarily to be outdoors, or it is if you have a swimming pool, your own swimming pool, which they build. And in your patios as well, you know, there's a lot of them that they'll build that have great airflow and that have, you know, you put your fans up and it won't be as big an issue for you. And that's something to keep in mind as well. I know a lot of people who spend a ton of time on their patio, even in the summer. It doesn't matter at all. Having your own outdoor kitchen, having your own personal space or family space to make memories, it's such a, you know, it's just a way for you to, when you look back on it as you get older, you're going to say, I'm really glad I did this. Because it's something that added value to my home, but it really added value to my life. It's TexasCustomPatios.com. Go look at the before and after, and you're going to see why they're so good. It's TexasCustomPatios.com.
We're ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, thriving on chaos.
I'm here to kill chaos. That's my chaos.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo! Let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.